Now, Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord," say it with me, "forever, O Lord, your word is settled," say in heaven. Here's in the Passion Translation says this, "standing firm in the heavens and fastened to eternity is the word of God." Standing firm. See, when the word of God is the foundation, you can stand firm. Standing firm in the heavens, not heaven, because there's more than one heaven, but you can study that on your own. And fastened to eternity is the word of God. See, the word of God is a source of our authority. Say, it's a source of my authority. Every word, listen, here's another translation. Every word, the sum of God's words ever spoken to man are settled in heaven. Everything, say everything. Everything has already been settled in heaven. Say it again. All things have already been settled where? In heaven. Amen. Now, get your Bibles if you don't mind, any version you may have, and let's turn over to a chapter in John's Gospel. I always encourage people to read John chapter 14, 15, and 16. It's the last time Jesus meets with his disciples, and he begins to speak to them about he's leaving them. Go to the 14th chapter, and let's just jump up, if you don't mind, to verse 12, right? 14, 12. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone in the Amplified says steadfastly believes in me. See, this is not just a passing thing. It's a lifestyle. Say it's a lifestyle. Amen. He will himself be able to do the things I do and even greater things because I go to the Father. What kind of things did Jesus do? It's recorded in the Word. Give me something. Raise the dead. Has anybody raised the dead yet? Well, what's going on? Holy Spirit said to me one day, I heard it loud and clear. I said, you know what? I'd never raised the dead. He said, yes, you have. Every time somebody gets saved, you raise them from the dead. I said, I'll take that. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And listen now, and greater things. Say greater things. Well, what does that mean? That Jesus, we're going to do better things than Jesus did? No, it means that at the end of John's Gospel, well, you got your finger. Go to the end of John's Gospel, if you don't mind. I'll show you what I'm talking about. John's Gospel, all the way to the end, the very last scripture verse. Verse 25 of John 21, fair enough? "And there also are many other things which Jesus did. If they should be all recorded one by one in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain, have room for the books that could be written." Whew. Wow. And he's saying what he's done and even greater. See, that doesn't make us greater than him. If Jesus was here 3.5 years and the books could not contain everything that took place in his ministry, he's saying you're going to be here longer and you'll even do greater things if you'll hook me up with you and you with me. I've got plans for your life. Amen. Say, these things will follow up, those that believe. See, many times we look ahead saying, okay, but we've got to sometimes look in our rearview mirror. God wants us to look and say, look what God has done in my life. I was reading it in Philippians again, 4:6-7 about make your request known unto God. And what the Holy Spirit said very quickly to me in my spirit, he said, the first step in praise is thanksgiving. Because once you make your request known, what are you supposed to do? Thank him. Well, what if we haven't seen anything? See, that's head knowledge stuff. But the Bible says, not seeing is believing, but what? Believing is seeing. What was the problem with Thomas? Boy, if I could take a look and see the nail-scarred hands and take a look at you and, wow, the crown was on your head, and if I could see those scars, then I'll believe. But what did Jesus say? Blessed are those who see and believe. But even, guess what? Go like this. I am that person who didn't see and I believe. Say hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. Well, some of us need to get set free of, hello, some of the things we believe, they're kind of like religious. You heard it, I got baptized once, should I get baptized again? See, religion says you did it once, that's it. No, there's nothing in the scriptures. Some people say, well, if I get baptized in water, then I'll be saved. No, there's no such thing as that. If I do this, then God, no. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. if you confess him with your mouth. Amen. How many of you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord? Guess what? You're okay. You're going to make it in the door. I like that. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So next verse. And I will do myself. I will grant whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Look at verse 14. It gets better now. Yes, I will grant, I myself will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name, presenting all that I am. See, if we will love him and do what his word says, he's going to take care of us. Now, look at this next verse, because this is kind of like the crust of what we're going to talk about tonight a little bit. Fair enough? Hang on now. 16. And I will ask the Father. Now, if he asks the Father, what does Jesus expect? What he asked the Father to come about. You understand that now? All right? Say, if I ask the Father, he's going to answer me. If you and I pray and ask the Father according to the word of God, because people say, well, I don't know what the will of God is. The Bible is God's will. Amen? Say, the Bible is God's will. So listen to it now. I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another comforter. That word another is very important because there's two different words for another. One that means identically the same. The other one, they're different. You ever have, my wife had twin brothers. They were identical twins. They used to swap sometimes in classes. The teacher didn't know. I don't like this class. I'll go for you, no problem. Teacher didn't know the difference. See, identical twins can do that. But if they were not identical, they could not do that. You understand? So when the word of God says here, another what? Comforter. That means somebody identically the same as Jesus. Say identically the same. So however Jesus operated and worked, then the Holy Spirit is going to do the same. Now we're just scratching the surface here. Are you ready? Say another comforter. Oh, I like that one. Amen. Say another one. Listen to what else this word means now. The Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, the Holy Spirit has a very interesting name. I'll give it to you. It's Parakletos. Say Parakletos. It's the only word you may ever remember in Greek, but that's good enough. Parakletos. That sounds like an interesting word. But there are so many meanings for the word Parakletos that take place in these three chapters. Can I give you some of the things that he is for us? Listen now. He's there to aid us. One of his names, the name of Parakletos, he'll aid you. He's there to assist you. You ever see those big boxes that said two people bend? And you always have somebody who tries to do it all by themselves. Next day they're in the hospital or in a chiropractor's office. The Holy Spirit is there to assist you. I've heard believers say this. I've said it a few times. Well, I don't want to bother God. That's what he's there for. That's what he's there for. If you need help, you ask. Say you ask. Glory to God. Say ask. You are not putting anything on God or his word or the Holy Ghost or the angels of the Lord. He wants us to ask. He knows we are humanity and we have weakness being in the flesh, but he wants you to know you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and you can ask him to assist you. How many of you sometimes like, I don't want to ask? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and the food wasn't prepared the way it was supposed to? Go like this. And you say, well, you know, I don't want to bother the cook. You know, he may, you know, we don't know. You're paying for this meal. You want it the way you want it. Simple. Well, I don't want to ask. Ask them. Amen. That's how you do it. The same thing in the realm of the spirit. If you don't ask, you know the little expression we have, the squeaky wheel gets the oil? Ask, and the Holy Ghost will show up and work on your part. That's a privilege you and I have. Say, that's our privilege to do that. Don't ever think you're taxing God or the Holy Ghost. Amen? Let's look at another one. He's there to help. Ever seen a place you've walked into and it said, I'm here to help you, so if you need something, you can ask. They know where everything is. Am I right? Say, he's there to help. Sometimes when you're taking care of parents as they grow older, you need help because the system that's there to help, you've got to go through one thing after the other. My wife and I have been through with two sets of parents. You've gone through with it. It's not easy. But when you know there's somebody you can call and ask for help, am I right? Glory to God. Here's the next one. This is good now. to guide you. That word there, guide, literally means this, to take you and I through a place that we've never been in before. Have you ever approached something you've never been in before and you're like, whoa, the Holy Spirit is out in front of us going through the jungle of life with a machete cutting everything down. He will take you where you have never been before. You ever been like that? Any place like that you can think of? Boy, it could be anything in life. Maybe you're lost in the city. Maybe dealing in with parents or children. What do? You stop and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me through these troubled waters. And he will never let you down. I'm telling you, he will never let you down. When this building was going up and the contractor walked off the job, took the money, left, didn't finish the building. We had the walls up inside, no windows up. It was December and everything done inside would have gone bad. You understand now? Because he went bad, we said, Holy Spirit, help us. And my brother-in-law, supernaturally, that particular Sunday, never forget it, was in his church and the Holy Spirit said, take an offering up for your sister and your brother-in-law. He didn't know anything. It was a Sunday afternoon. You remember that, hon? Sunday afternoon and the phone rings. It's Paul, her brother. He said, we collected $40,000 and gave it to us. We called the bank up the next day and said, we want to continue. Well, we froze the money that you had for a loan. Well, I got X number. How did you get it? It's none of your business. If I told you, you wouldn't believe me anyway. Well, you don't have to know God's business. I have to know God's business, and you do. That's why you're in this building, because God spoke to somebody, because we didn't know where to go and what to do, and he guided us through every one of those things. I still have the picture, if you don't mind, when they were all standing from the bank here in the platform. We had streamers and all kinds of stuff, and they were not happy campers because we paid off this mortgage on this building back then. In 5 years, they had a 15-year note. They was not the happy to people. You know how that happened? Folks like you heard God speak. We gave, and all of a sudden, a miracle comes from a place I never thought it would. $40,000. Glory to God. Amen? So say it, the guide, the Holy Spirit, will take us through places we've never been in before. Have you ever been in a place like that? Raise your hand. The Holy Spirit is the one we have to call on. Don't call an Uncle Henry. You just got an inheritance, or call somebody who knows got some money. Call on the Holy Spirit. Heaven is not broke. Heaven is not broke. We sometimes are broke spiritually and in the natural because we don't use the tools of God's word and ask. Ask. Say ask. How many of you know you should have and you didn't? Do it next time. Can I tell you a natural? We always, our natural humanity always wants to figure it out first. That's not going to work in the kingdom of God. Don't try to figure it out. Just have faith in the word of God. Have faith. Amen. Mark Hankins made this little statement. I wrote it down here. The Spirit of God doesn't land everywhere. The landing strip, that is the Holy Ghost. That's what he lands on. See, faith, the Spirit of God lands on the landing strip of faith, the Holy Ghost. Amen? Can I do one more? Another one is he'll do this. He'll lead you. He'll lead you. Again, what happens is we say, oh, he tells me to go here and do this. I don't know if I can do that. When Jesus Christ, when the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are in control, you line up and go like this. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Have you ever been in the military, anybody here at all? Did you always do what the sergeant told you to do? Because if not, there were consequences. Am I right? There's no consequences with God. But what happens is when we try to figure it out and we don't understand it, then we waste time. Time is something we can never get back. How many of you have some money in your pocket? You can spend it. Can you get more? Can you spend it and get more? But see, time is nothing that you can get back again. So why waste our time trying to get something and then the Holy Spirit tells us this and then we question him and lose valuable time? I've had to learn it the hard way. How about you in life? Yes, let's be honest. If we ask the Holy Spirit, then we've got to take what he says and do what he says. Not understanding it, I'm going to end with a simple thing. Abraham, what did he tell his servants when he had his son with him? We'll be back. What was God asking him to do? I gave you a son supernaturally. Now I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I get a bald spot trying to figure out, God, what are you doing? You can't figure out God. You never will be able to. I'll never be able to. But I'll tell you something. The God that you and I serve is a God who loves us, cares about us, and he's got you covered. So what happened just before he thrusts knife into his son? What happens? He hears a noise. What is it? A ram is stuck in the bush. Well, how did he get there? I don't know. But the place, Jehovah Jireh, means what? God will supply. And God will supply for you and me at every turn in life. On every occasion, he will never, ever, 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 ever let you down. A simple question. How many of you have let yourself down? So we're not good at it. But the Holy Spirit will never let you down. Say, he'll never let me down. Now, I end with this because we'll pick up on this next week. There's some attributes about the Holy Spirit. One is that he's omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. He knows everything. Have you ever been around somebody who's a know-it-all? Not you, though. But they know everything about nothing, which you usually find out. Am I right? The Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. Why don't we as human beings trust him? He knows everything. If you drove by this little pond on the other side of Grooms, here's these two ducks. Ducks, I don't know what they are. They're just having a good time. If you go by the reservoir and look way out, you'll see a whole bunch of white swans. They knew when to come back as soon as the ice melted. Why? Because they're supposed to be doing that. How many of you have seen the little buds coming up through your frozen ground, whatever, made the little tulips and some other? They know when to show up. They don't question God. But why does humanity question God? If we could learn how to get in such a powerful relationship with God through the Holy Ghost, when he says something, we have our marching orders, let's move on it and go. Amen. He's omniscient. Say he's all omniscient. What does that mean? He's omnipresent. What does that mean? He fills everything. We're having church right now. Eric Smith and his pastor are in Pakistan meeting with 120,000 some people. But it's the same Spirit of God. How does he do that? I don't know. But I know one of his, he's omniscient and he's omnipresent. He fills everything at all times. How could we lose with him in our life? But what happens sometimes, we forget and we move on our own. That's trouble. You can't move unless the Holy Ghost tells you to take a move. If you do, sometimes it's better just to stand still and wait. Give me one more. Omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. What does that mean? He's all powerful. He has everything we need. So why wouldn't I want him in my corner? Why wouldn't I want him on my bench? Why wouldn't I want to put him in when there's 30 seconds left and we're behind by 20 points? No problem. What's the problem? There's never, ever again, I'm going to prophesy over you. There never, ever, ever again is going to be a time when you say, my back's against the wall. Your back spiritually is never against the wall. Not if you're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will never be against any wall because God will give you the right place, the right time, where to go, and when to go. You are never too late, and you don't want to be too early. You want to be right on time. Hallelujah. Say amen. Isn't that good news? So the Holy Ghost has got you covered. So when you wake in the morning, what should you do? Man, say thank you, Jesus, for a new day. Holy Ghost, lead me and guide me, because we don't know what's coming, but the Holy Ghost does. Let's turn things around in our spiritual walk with God. By talking to God, we can. Let's hear what he has to say to us and not try to figure it out, but move as he directs us by his word. Amen.